Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Now, are you ready for this morning? Turn to Jeremiah 29. How many of you are hungry? Really hungry. Not for food, but hungry to know God. How many of you would say you're really pursuing God? You're pursuing Him. You're seeking after Him. You want to know Him. Well, three hands went up. Man, we're any more than that. Jane and I yesterday were down at Andy Elms Church, and they had some guys over from the States who run... the overall ministry is called The Ramp. Some of you might have heard of that. Karen Wheaton is the lady that heads it up. It's mainly geared towards younger people, teenagers, 20s, that kind of thing. But they're having a wider impact than just that age group. But that's very much their kind of focus. And partly we went there because we've seen some of their stuff on the internet. And they're going to be establishing a base in Manchester starting from next month. Initially some kind of encounter worship focused events for younger people, and then they're going to be developing that really into a church in the new year. And Andy and those guys are very much kind of really struck a relationship up, and they're going to be kind of helping them and encouraging them in that. But there were some things that really resonated with us, that these guys from the States, same spirit, same heart, and that kind of revival faith dynamic and breakthrough kind of spirit, and really contending for not just a few people to get saved here or there, but for God to move in a nation and the nations, God to move in a generation of people that are alive right now, and really living with a cause and really living their lives for that. And the Ramp itself has only been going about 10 years, where they're based in Hamilton, which is in the middle of nowhere. They're in a town of 6,000 people in the middle of nowhere. They say it's the kind of place you don't go through, you have to go to, because it's just off the beaten track. Yet in the last 9 or 10 years, they've had between 300,000 and 400,000 young people go through their various events, conferences, training school, all the different things that are going on. And they don't know how many tens of thousands of young people have been sent out in some way, planting churches and mission field overseas, all of that kind of stuff. They said we've lost count. We don't know how many have gone out, in conjunction with being at the Ramp and then with the church the person's from, how many have been sent out to do things. And yesterday it was like listening to somebody who had been part of Kingdom Faith for years. And it was like listening to a female version of Pastor Colin. In the sense that, when you listen to somebody who's encountered God, who's met with God, whose life is just totally given over to the purposes of God, and that's the thing that consumes them. That's what they live, breathe, eat, sleep. Everything they do is just about. They're not interested in stuff, and their whole focus is the eternal purposes of God, not the temporal things. We all live in a temporal world. We have to do temporal stuff. We sleep, we eat, we drink. We pay bills. We have to do the washing. We need rest. We do stuff. And we live in the temporal, but it's very easy to be focused on the temporal and have some sort of eternal understanding somewhere because we're saved, but not necessarily living with an eternal mindset and heart and thinking. And then where the temporal fits into the eternal, in terms of what God is doing. Yesterday, a load of people went for lunch, and after that, there was about 3 hours before we went to the the evening meeting. And Jane and I just went to, if you've been to Portsmouth, anybody been to Gun Wharf, the shops down there, loads of outlet stores, and everybody's like, yeah, bargain, get a bargain, all that kind of thing. So we thought, well, let's go down to Gun Wharf, have a walk about, get a coffee, and just chill out for a few hours before going back in the evening. And when we came towards the car park, if you've been there, there's like three or four levels of underground car parking. I don't know how many thousands of cars they can get in there, but As we on the road approached, it was just solid cars, you know, two or three lanes, just all gradually edging like this, you know, bit by bit, bit by bit. And you came to the car park, and as all these cars in three lanes, I don't know how many cars were coming in. This was like 4 o'clock. You're thinking, wow, it's coming to the end of the afternoon. But yet there were so many people still wanting to go shopping. So these guys, you know, we're all part of this thing, and they're all edging, trying to, you know, waiting for your turn to go in. But they had this little thing saying how many spaces there were. And there were 29 spaces. And as we drove near, there were 30, 31, then it dropped down to 28. And because the other side coming out were three lanes of cars coming out, back to back, edging, all coming out. So it wasn't like loads of people trying to come in and nobody's trying to come out. It was like loads trying to go in and loads trying to go out, okay? And there's thousands of cars in there and like 29, 30 spaces. And you think, this is going to be a bun fight to find a space to park in, because so many cars are going in, even though so many are coming out. And everybody's going in, and what are they doing? They go in, then they, what are they doing? They're shopping, they're going to eat, or they're going to the cinema, they're going to hang out, they're going to have a coffee, whatever they're doing. But there's two things that everybody is doing after they've gone into the car park before they leave it. There's two things they're doing. One is they're spending time doing something, and the other thing is they're spending money doing something. And, you know, God uses sometimes scenarios like that. And when we're going in and coming out, it was like life is like this. We're all born. And if you think how many people are being born at this moment and how many lives are edging towards, they're all in the womb at this moment, say they're all edging towards that moment where the barrier is going to go up and they're going to get born. Right? If I can put it that way, just bear with me. Not the most descriptive way of putting it. But it's their time to come out into the big wide world, right? Yeah, thanks, mate. Yeah, digging a hole, I'm going deeper, right? And but at this moment, there's loads of people dying as well. And just picture with me for a minute. There's loads of people being born. They're all edging towards that moment. But there's loads that have lived their life. They've spent time and they've spent money doing stuff. And it's their time now to, this is the other end of life, and they're now leaving, if you like, if I can put it that way. And in the natural, people are going to a car park, going shopping, doing this, doing that, and then they're going home. But all of us are living, we've all been born at some stage, and we're all going to die. Where all of us in this room are at this moment, it's like we're in Gun Wharf Quays shopping centre. We're all in our lives at this moment. And all of us have time, and how we spend that time is going to determine how life is today in our own lives, in our families, our friendships, and how we impact the world around us, the friends and family and others around us. How we spend that time is really important, because once you've spent time, you can never get it back. It's like money. Once you've spent it, you can't get it back. So when you, I don't know what you do with your kids, but you, I was taught this, you know, whatever money you have, you don't just throw it away. You spend it wisely. You use it wisely. You know, you the first thing you do is you give to the Lord whatever you get. So that's a principle. Give to the Lord first what's His. Then He lets you steward the other, whatever it is that you got. And then, but you think, you wisely, you think about, what am I going to do? Because once I've spent it, it's gone. And it's easy in our lives with time because, you know, many of us think, well, I'm not going to die yet. I've still got a few years left, or quite a few years, depending on what age you are. And it's easy to have a bit of a mañana kind of approach to life. Say, well, I'll just kind of truck along today. I'll just kind of go along at a certain pace because, well, there's always tomorrow. There's next week, next month, next year. I've got many, many years to go. How would we live if you knew you only had a week to live? What would be different if you only, you knew you had a week to live, a month to live? If you didn't know you had long, would you live differently for the next week, or would you still live in the same way? Don't know. If you could answer, well, I'll live in the same way, maybe because you think, well, actually, I'm doing what I believe God's doing. I'm doing all this, you know. But actually, would there be anything that would change in your life, your lifestyle, what you would do in the next week or two if you knew you only had that long to live? Not because you were ill or sick and everybody was, you know, but you knew that God would say, right, you're going to come and be with me in 2 weeks' time, fit and healthy, you're sorted. What would you do with those last couple of weeks? How would you be? Maybe you think about time. Suddenly, hang on, I've got 14 days now. What am I going to do with that time? How am I going to invest that to make the most impact on people around me? Because actually, probably if you knew you only had a couple of weeks to live, you probably wouldn't think about yourself very much. You would probably think, right, I've got 2 weeks. Have I done everything that I'm supposed to have done while I'm here on earth? Is there anything that is undone that is still not done? You might say something like, is there anybody I need to get sorted relationally? You might think, hang on, there's my family member I've never told about Jesus. Man, I better get my skates on. There's this scenario, that scenario, the other scenario. I don't know. How would that impact how you see time? Are you with me this morning? I was challenged, in one sense, really encouraged yesterday by being there, but also quite challenged. I was away for a couple of days earlier in the week, just praying into the autumn and various things. And God was talking to me about time. Clive, how do you spend your time? You see, in the same way that money can be an investment, time also can be an investment. You know, when we use the word legacy, we often think about legacy as being something that happens after we've died. So what legacy do you want to leave once you have gone? But how many of you know that your legacy is being determined by how you live today? Because what you leave behind once you die in terms of a legacy is determined by how you live while you're alive. So I, you know, when I was growing up, and in my own family, there's things that I live in the good of now that I my dad's still alive, but I'm living in his legacy that he is still living in and still building and growing. I'm living in his a legacy of his life, how he invested in myself, in my sisters, in our family. So I'm living in a legacy, but I'm doing something with that legacy in my own life so that there's a legacy in my own children while I'm still alive, because I'm not waiting until I die and then say, well, hopefully they'll do something with what I invested in them. But I'm looking to invest in my children today so they walk with God, they serve God, they walk in his ways, they want to do what he wants to do, so that they also then think about what they're going to do to impact their own kids. When Joe's obviously had his first one, but when the other guys get married and have their own kids and all of that kind of thing. Why? Because we want to leave a legacy, not just of stuff. And the Bible talks about it. It's good to leave an inheritance for your children's children, you know, and all of that. So there's that side of it. But we can leave stuff for our kids and for the next generation. But if we don't leave a deposit of God in their lives that they're living by and that is real for them and determines how they live, I can leave them with stuff. But if I don't leave them with a legacy of them running with God, pursuing God, seeking after God, then I've missed the point of part of what I'm supposed to be doing as a parent.
Yeah.
Now, let's translate that into being spiritual parents and spiritual people. There are people that God wants to transform in their lives. There are people that he wants to impact. They might already be saved. They might not be saved yet. There's people's lives that he wants us to impact. But God is working in your life because he wants us to have a legacy that is affecting other people's lives while we're still alive now. And we need to understand that whatever's happening in and through our lives, we are leaving a legacy right now while we're alive. We're building a legacy now, today. How many of you know that when something's on fire, it can catch other things on fire? When something's on fire, it can dry things around it so that those things begin to ignite with fire. And there's an element of however we're living with God, however we're pursuing God, that'll determine what happens around us, the atmosphere that other people come into. See, whatever we're living with in God is either going to overtake what's going on in somebody else's life, or what's happening in them will overtake what's happening in our lives. There was a phrase used yesterday that really grabbed me. I thought, wow, what a great way to put it. One of the people on Karen's team, she was sharing for a few minutes, and she said, in the church, it's so easy to get used to knowing that God is everywhere, the omnipresence of God. And we can get very used to just saying, well, God's here, he's around. And we get used to living at a certain level with God or in a certain way with God, saying, well, he's here, that his presence is here, I'm doing okay, things are all right. I think I'm doing all right as a Christian. And we get used to the omnipresence of God. God's here. He's with me. He's with us, you know. And they said there's a massive difference between the omnipresence of God, knowing that he's everywhere and he's here with us now, and then the manifested presence of God in our lives. And part of the challenge this person was saying at that moment was, how do we move from omnipresence to manifested presence, where God is being revealed in our lives? And they said it starts with pursuit. I want to pursue you, God, because I don't want to just live in your omnipresence. I don't just want to take you for granted. I don't just want you to be around in my life. I don't just want to ask you to do something when I need you to do something. What I want to do, God, I want to pursue you because I want to live in your manifested presence of who you are. I want to live in a dimension of you being revealed in my life on an ongoing way, because I don't want to live cruising along. I want to live pursuing you and seeking after you so that you can reveal more and more of who you are, so that I live in your manifested presence, so that I see your manifested power working through my life. How many of you want that? See, that is developed through hunger, through pressing in, seeking after God. Another little phrase that somebody said, as it wasn't in a message, it was just something somebody said at some point. There was like a sentence that then they just carried on talking, and I thought, wow, I had to write it down. This is what they said. It's great to sing the words of others' songs, but the most powerful words are the ones that come from the heart of the worshipper.
That's right.
Wow. You know, we sing other people's songs on a Sunday, whether our guys have written them or somebody else somewhere else has written them. And we sing the words of somebody else's songs. And the question was asked, what happens when the song runs out? What words come from here? Yeah. Another thing that was said that flowed on from that was this. If we don't have any words when the songs run out, we are then living off the faith of somebody else. Because we're singing the song of somebody else's faith and expression of who God is. And when the song finishes, if we have no words at that moment and we're like, well, I don't know what to do now, I don't know what to say. What they're saying is if we don't have the words, then we're living off somebody else's faith. I mean, I was like, wow, that's, and so I thought, I need to write that one down as well. That not just a great one-liner, but actually it's like, wow. And I just started to jot a few things down, you know, last night or this morning. It's like, how do I know if my hunger is waning for God? If it's in decline or it's waning, how do I know? How would I know? Well, I think one thing is you begin to fit your relationship with God around everything else going on. Yeah. Well, I'll just fit a bit of time in with the Lord here because I'm busy. I'll fit a bit of this in there. Rather than actually saying, if my hunger is after God, then he's first and foremost, and everything else has to fit around my relationship with him. Because understand that everything in my life flows from that relationship into everything else. Yeah. I jotted another thing down. How do I know if my hunger's waning for God? Because I'm not sure or don't know what God is saying to me. I think sometimes people are like, well, you know, what's God saying to you? How are you doing? What are you working with the word? Well, I don't know really. It's like, well, if we are hungering after God, if there's a thirst, if there's a pursuit of God, then if you're in the pursuit of who he is, he's going to be speaking. You're going to be hearing his voice. If we're pursuing God, we're saying, God, who are you? I want to discover more of who you are. And as he reveals who he is, he reveals a facet, a dimension. It could be mercy, it could be grace, it could be compassion, it could be his love, it could be his authority, whatever facet of who he is, magnificence, how awesome he is. But at any given moment, if any of us said to one another, so what's God saying to you? What's he doing in your life at the moment? Oh, God's just blowing me away. He's just showing me his grace. I just don't deserve it, but yet he just keeps lavishing me with his grace. Why? Because you're pursuing him. Yes. There's a hunger, there's a pursuit, there's a longing. And how many of you know when you eat naturally, we're all going to go and have lunch and we'll probably all be quite satisfied, won't we, after lunch? Oh, that feels good. But how many of you know a few hours later, there's a like, I was full a few hours ago and I just couldn't eat anything else. But a few hours later, actually, nice toasted sandwich would go down well. Or as you, I'm sure you're going to have for lunch, a bit of crumble and custard or something. But maybe a few hours later, that hunger's come back and you're like, well, I want something else to eat. And then maybe, I don't know what you do, maybe a snack at night of a few cheese and biscuits or I don't know what you have. But our body keeps wanting to. So it gets satisfied, but your body's designed to deal with everything that goes in there and then actually have some more food because your body knows to be healthy, I need to eat on an ongoing basis. Now, spiritually, we're designed in the same way. That when we pursue God and we encounter God and we're seeking after him, there's a hunger there that we're cultivating in our lives. On one level, there's a fulfillment, a satisfaction, because how many of you know when you meet with God, you feel fully satisfied, but yet it creates more of a hunger in you to know him more. Yes. And that's a bit of a thing. Well, hang on, how should that work? Because you feel fully satisfied because there's a place of rest and peace and a sense of, you know, God, you're awesome, you're mighty. But at the same time, there's a hunger. God, I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. Because spiritually, when you seek after God, it creates a greater hunger. But at the same time, there's a satisfaction. But in that satisfaction, there's a greater hunger and longing. If we don't have a hunger and a longing, we have to ask ourselves the question, am I really pursuing and seeking after him? Maybe another kind of way of looking at as my hunger waning is, do I think more about stuff than I do about him? Do I spend more time looking at what I want to get next or what the next thing is or the next the other than whatever? You know, am I looking at more that stuff than actually pursuing him? I mean, there's obvious things like, you know, how do you know your hunger's waning? What? There's the obvious things about reading the word and praying. There's always resistance to prayer, and there always will be. It doesn't matter what dynamic is going on in the things of the spirit. The enemy will always oppose prayer. But you know, when you're fueling a hunger and you're pursuing him, no matter what's coming against you, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what pressures, no matter what the enemy might be saying, no matter what stuff is happening, when you're pursuing God, sometimes it's like a rage inferno on the inside of you. I just want to be with you, God. I want to know you. I want to hear from you. I want to. You know, there's just a hunger. And other times, it's like a still small voice in you that's still pulling you. And there's a desire that's like, I just want to go and be with the Lord. I just want to spend time with him. I just want to hear his voice. I just want to know what he's saying. God, I just want to take your word. I don't want to rush through it. But God, I just want to sit with you for a few minutes. And I just want to read. What are you saying? I want to feed. And it doesn't have to be some raging inferno going on the other side. Because sometimes it is like that. Other times it isn't. But I believe God in this autumn season wants us to pursue God. Every one of us in a personal way. And none of us can make each other hungry. You're the only one who can make yourself hungry. Sunday morning, no matter what God does on a Sunday morning, Sunday in and of itself will never satisfy you. In and of itself. We can have amazing times. You know, God can do all kinds of stuff, but you can't live off a Sunday morning. We weren't saved for Sunday mornings. We were saved to have a relationship with the eternal, everlasting Father, the creator of heaven and earth, to have a personal, intimate, living relationship with the one who was and is to come. And that what happens in our own little world where nobody sees, that's what fuels your relationship more than anything else. When we come to meet on a Sunday, what are we doing? We're all chucking wood on the fire. We're chucking wood on the fire. When we come to worship, you know, we're here to worship the living God, but we're here chucking wood on the fire and encouraging everybody else. Whoever's preaching and speaking, what are we doing? We're just lobbing wood on the fire, lobbing wood on the fire. What I can't do for your life, what you can't do for me, is set the fire up, put a match on it, constantly do that, and hope that me to you or you to me is fanning into flame all the stuff that I hope you're living in or that you hope I'm living in, and I'm like, come on church, and you're sitting there going, oh come on Clive, preach a bit harder, preach a bit this, preach a bit better, do this, hear God a bit more for me. I can't hear God for you. You're the only one who can hear God for you. What my responsibility is, Pastor Colin and others, is that we hear what God is saying to us as a people, and that we're bringing that, you know, to who we are as a people. We all have a responsibility to take hold of that. But in all of that, what's God doing in you? What's He saying to you? How are you connecting with Him? What's He downloading in your life? What fuel are you lobbing on that fire of your relationship with God? Because there are people out there that need the people in here to be chucking wood on the fire of their lives. And the heat of who God is and what He's doing in us overtakes whatever's going on in theirs. I haven't even got to the message I was going to bring this morning, so we just ended up on this one. Is this all right? This is just going to be a couple of thoughts at the beginning of the message, so there weren't any scriptures here. I've got quite a few scriptures for the actual message I was going to bring. Is that all right? So sorry, I haven't. Some of you might be thinking he hasn't read the Bible yet. I'll read something out of the Bible now to you then. Just so that he read the Bible this morning, okay? What was I going to read in the Bible? Jeremiah 29. You were listening. Woo-hey! Thank you, Jesus. Attentive believers. What I was going to read was... I'll read what I was going to read, okay? Actually, it's connected to what I'm saying, funnily enough. Jeremiah 29. It's just... What are we talking about this morning? Are you living with an eternal... No, this, when I read it, it'll make sense then. Just go with me. Are we living with an eternal mindset, eternal way of living, or are we living in a temporal one? Okay, here's verse 5, chapter 29. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. You see, a temporal mindset. I'm just going to chuck these out, okay, at you. I've just written a few things down here, okay? Somebody who's living with an eternal mindset understands that how they live today determines tomorrow, next week, next month. It determines the future.
That's right.
Okay, how you live today shapes the future of your life. Whether that future is tomorrow, next week, whatever it is, okay? The person who's living for the temporal only lives for the moment. So the person who's living with that eternal mindset, they are thinking, they're living by the will, not by their emotions. God's got a purpose for my life. I want to walk with Him. I want to walk in His ways. I want to pursue Him. I want to hear from Him. I want to invest in my family. I want to invest in my kids. I want to invest in people around me. I'm not here just to be a spare part on, you know, bum on a seat. I'm here actually to impact and encourage and strengthen other people's lives. But a temporal person lives more from the moment. They just live for the moment. They're not thinking ahead. They're not planning ahead. They're not. It's all about now in terms of their focus. Second thing. Somebody's living with an eternal mindset. They invest not only in their relationship with God, but they invest in relationships, in people around, in family. The person who's living for the temporal doesn't put any roots down. They're only here. The temporal mindset. Well, I'll come and go as I please. And if it works out, great. If it doesn't, I'll go somewhere else or whatever. And we have that kind of short-term mindset, okay? Somebody who is living with it, invest in relationships. That's what that scripture in Jeremiah is about. What is that? That's about covenant relationship. See, if you think in eternal mindset, making disciples, investing in others, that's covenant relationship. That's what that means to build houses, settle down, plant gardens, eat what they produce, marry off your sons and daughters, and then they have their own kids. And it's generational in terms of what we're investing in. Increase in number. Seek the priests of the town where you are. One of the ways that we invest with eternal mindset is, I know this is Sign Up Sunday today in terms of small groups, but the one way that we live with an eternal heart and not just a temporal one is that we actually are part of one another's lives, saying, I want to be an eternal living person, so I want to invest in other people's lives. So that means connecting, being in relationship, and so I want to be in relationship with others because I'm not here with a temporal mindset for myself, I'm here with an eternal mindset. Because that says I want to invest in others, I want to build into others, I want to leave a legacy in other people's lives of what God's doing in my life, what God's doing amongst us. So I want to connect out of the big into something smaller where it might challenge us, because the person with a temporal mindset might be a little bit afraid of making relationships. There's possible fears of being rejected, or there's insecurity or whatever it might be. But often the place of healing in the body is in the body. It's really quiet today, isn't it? But God's the one that heals. But so often, we live out and receive that healing in the body and in that context. James 5 talks about that in terms of if you've got sin, repent of your sin and then be healed, and you find that in the body, whatever verse it is. Sorry, I can't quote it to you. Third thing here, just quickly. Somebody who's living with an eternal mindset says, I'm part of the answer. I'm part of what God is doing around here. They don't complain like the temporal person. The person who lives temporally complains if things are not right, because they're looking at they're just moaning about stuff. Whereas the eternal minded person said, there's a bigger picture going on. I'm here to make a difference. I'm here to be part of the answer, part of the solution of what God wants to do. Fourth thing here, an eternal mindset person understands they have a part to play. There's a few scriptures in here. Genesis 2 verse 15. God said to them in the garden, work the garden and take care of it. In 1 Thessalonians 1, 3, it talks about the work that is needed to be done by faith. In John 6, 29, it talks about the same kind of thing. It's speaking about being part of a work where there's a labor of love. So loving one another, when you say labor, it's not a laborious task, but there's work involved in actually an eternal mindset. The temporal mindset, I don't want to go there, don't want to deal with that, can't be bothered, I'm more centered around myself, don't want to serve, don't want to get involved, don't want to do this. The eternal mindset says, no, I want to serve God, not just when I get to heaven, but I want to serve him now. And so I want to get, understanding my life makes a difference right here and now in people's lives. The fifth thing here, the eternal mindset lives for purpose. The temporal one just lives for pleasure, to please themselves. Whereas the eternal one says, no, I'm here for a purpose. I'm here to make disciples, because that's the Great Commission. I want to do the same as Jesus did. Come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. The Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations. It's like, God, I want to invest my life in the lives of other people. And then the last one we'll just look at this morning, or we're going to unpack all these, we haven't got time. Number six was somebody who's living with an eternal mindset, okay, is living with, as we've already said, wanting to leave a legacy, but they understand if we live in an eternal mindset, if we're building into people's lives, that a series of lives are going to be affected and changed as a result. Whereas if we just live in the temporal, we'll end up just having a series of memories and nothing to show for it. Partly this morning, I'm just sharing out what God's been challenging me personally about over the last week or two, few weeks. And God's been asking me, Clive, what is the fruit of your life? And I've been like, why, you know, and just writing some things down. Well, what is the fruit of my life? And it's been encouraging. He's saying, look at the fruit in your kids. So I've been writing, you know, what's the fruit I see in my children? What's the fruit in your wife? What's the fruit in your family? What's the fruit that you've seen over the years? What fruit, you know, and somebody, funnily enough, even though that's what God's been asking me about, what's the fruit of your life? Somebody said something yesterday that was really interesting at one point. They said God gave them a picture in their life of being on a train, and there's one of the guys from the States. They went on a train, and every time they got on a train, they weren't sure which way the train was going, whether it was going to go out the station that way or this way or whatever. And every time they got on a train in the last couple of days doing their journeys, they wanted to sit in a seat that was going to look forward so they could see what was coming. But every time they sat down, the train left the station, they realised they were going backwards and they could only see where they'd just been. And they were a bit like, right, I've got to get a hang of these English trains because they've got seats in both directions, and I've got to try and get a seat where I can actually see where the thing is going and have a look at the countryside on the way rather than what, you know. And they kind of felt God spoke to them about it and said, sometimes you look at your life and say, well, what fruit have I really produced? And sometimes God says, just look at all the fruit. Look at where you've been. Look at where you've come from. Look at where you started when I saved you. Now look at where you are here. Look at the journey you've covered. Look at the distance being traveled and all of that. And you can say, wow, look at that. Look how God's been, good he's been. Look at the testimonies, the stories, the provision, the healings, the salvations, this, that, and the other. But then God's like, if I've done all that, how much more do I still want to do? There's loads and loads more. And this person said, what it turned in their heart was, I want to pursue you more, God. I don't want to be satisfied with just where I've been and live in a certain tempo with you. But actually, God, there's so much more, and I want to reach and stretch out for more. And I was sitting there going, wow, that's one of the things God's been talking to me about. Clive, what's the fruit of your life? So I've been saying, well, what is the fruit? And I've been thinking about some of the stuff over the last few years or before we moved back here and all that kind of stuff. And then hearing some stories, they were talking about young people yesterday and what they're seeing happen. I was like, man, that's what we were seeing when we were doing youth stuff years ago in the band we were in before we came here and everything, moved back here and all the things we saw, more recent things. But as I was thinking about some of those things, it was fueling in me a hunger. It's like, God, I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied. There is so much more. And God spoke to me and he said, Clive, the so much more is not in your efforts and strength and then trying to do something. The so much more is if you pursue me. Yeah. The so much more is in the seeking me. The so much more is discovering who I am. Let me speak to you. Let me reveal more of who I am. The so much more is in having a greater hunger and desire to know me. And in that, you'll hear my voice. You'll take those steps of faith. You'll move into this, that, and the other. But let that all be fueled by a hunger and a passion to know me. Are you guys all right? Sunday morning's quite quiet. There's not a lot of hallelujah, yeah. So I don't know how this is coming across to you guys. There's loads in it. Let's stand together. So we want to go on a pursuit of God this autumn. Anybody with me? I know Pastor Collins, he's just constantly pursuing God, you know, and often we're running to keep up with him and what God's doing in his life, because that's the mode that he lives in, just the pursuit of God, to know him, to reveal him and everything. And as the kind of founder, starter, apostle of Kingdom Faith, we are blessed to have somebody who is a God seeker, relentlessly pursuing God, pursuing God, pursuing God, pursuing God. And what a great example that we have in somebody that is, I mean this in the right way, one of the oldest people in the church, but yet is probably the most tenacious and hungry to know God out of all of us. Yet probably one of the old, you know, and yet the hunger is stronger than it's ever been. The desire is more than it's ever been. And it's like, you know, even the last couple of days, say, God, that the fuel that is on his life and is firing his life, Father, I want that same fuel to be on my life so that I'm, you know, but I have to engage with God myself in that. I can't live off his faith or his journey with God. I've got to live, you know, on what I'm getting from God. The daily bread that Jesus said, when they said, teach us how to pray, he said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's the next line? give us this day our daily bread. And what's Jesus saying there? He's saying, that's the secret place for you and me. God, I want to live in you today. You are my daily bread. That verse isn't just present your request towards the Lord. God, I need you to do this for me today. I need you to do that for me today. I need this, I need that and the other. It's no, God, I want to give me today your daily bread. I want to live on the daily bread of who you are today. I don't want to live off a desire for something else. I don't want to live off a desire that's temporal, that will come and go, like people going in and out of that car park. So, Father, I want to use the time that I'm alive right now between arriving 49 years ago and then disappearing off the earth, whatever age I'm going to be, if you haven't come back before then. God, I want to spend the time that I have left in a way that leaves a legacy in other people's lives. Because you can only take lives with you to heaven. You can't take anything else. You can't take anything. Doesn't matter how much we have down here. Doesn't matter how much fame, accolade, money, possessions, this, that, and the other. It doesn't matter. You think about famous people that get all the accolades in the world. Everybody knows who they are. Then they die and you see them on the news or on a documentary and you're like, wow, where are they now? Where are they now? If they didn't know Christ, that's it. They've had it. And you're like, wow, they had all the accolades of men for 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years, whatever it was. But now, what is it? It's like, Father, I don't want to live temporally. I want to live eternally. But I want to live eternally now, in the now. So that the time that I spend, it's like time is a currency. And God wants you to use the currency of your time to invest in your own life. Invest in your relationship with God. Invest in your relationship if you're married with your wife. Invest in the relationship you have with your children if you've got kids. Invest in your friendships around you. Invest in other people. Leave a legacy in others because of how you're living. Let other people see the pursuit of your life, your pursuit after God. And let people stir a hunger up in others because you're stirring a hunger up in your own life to know God, him and to walk in his ways in our generation, in our time, where the world needs a church that is pursuing God, hungry for God, a church that has the breath of God blowing through it, a church that has the fire of God burning through it. We want a church who aren't just content with the omnipresence of God, knowing he's here somewhere amongst us in a way, but we want the manifested presence of who he is and his power working in us and through us as a people. That's what Horsham needs. That's what the 25-mile radius needs. That's what our nation needs. That's what Europe needs and beyond. It needs a church that is not just living in the omnipresence of God, but is moving in the manifested presence and power of who he is in our day and our hour. How many of you want to live with that kind of God, in that kind of way, in our time right now? How many of you want to spend the currency of time in a way that is full of wisdom so that what God produces in you and through you has eternal effects on other people's lives? Yes. That's where Jesus said, I've appointed you to bear fruit and fruit. He said, I appoint you to go and bear fruit. It actually says, and fruit that will last or remain. Father, I pray that you would just, as we make a response to you, you would stir up a hunger, a fresh hunger in Kingdom Faith Church, in Horsham, in Crawley, in Worthing, in London, in Taunton, in Scarborough, all the partnering churches and beyond. Father, would you stir up a fresh hunger in us as we respond to you? Father, your word says, stir up the gift that is within you. We're not waiting for the Holy Spirit to do it. We're saying, God, I want to stir up, fan into flame the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's your counselor. He's the one that will reveal who Jesus is. He's the spirit of truth. He's the spirit of life. He's the spirit of wisdom. He's the spirit of revelation. He's the spirit of power. He's the spirit of authority. He is everything of who Christ is in us. We need to be dependent on him. We need to come to maybe you need to come to a dead end in your life. Where you say, God, I need you. Not just to bless me, but I need you. I want you. Maybe others are at a crossroads. And maybe that's the point where you say, God, I don't just want you to tell me what you think I should do here because I need to make a decision. I want to know you. 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 I want to know you more than I know anybody else. I want to know you more than I want anything else. God, I want to know you and who you are in this day and this hour. I don't want to be somebody who has just great opinions about the nation and the government and what political party or the culture or this, that or the other or what should or shouldn't be happening. Father, I want to be a pursuer after you, a seeker after you. I want to be somebody who's hungry and thirsty to know you so that your life is raging in me, your life is flowing in and through me, Father, that my family, my household, my workplace, my community, my neighbors, everything around is affected because of who you are and what you're doing in me, because of that pursuit and hunger and thirst that I have for you. This place when we meet on a Sunday needs to be full of life and power, and the whole atmosphere needs to be just infused with who he is. That none of us are waiting for anybody else to ignite something, because you already come ignited, because you're lighting that touch paper in your own relationship with God. We want to be a church who's living mature in the things of God, that we're not like kids waiting to be spoon fed by somebody else because we can't be bothered to spoon feed ourselves, or say, well, I've given myself to this, that or the other, so I don't really have a desire to do that. Maybe some of you just need to say, God, I've given myself to stuff. I've given myself to things. I've filled my time with other things. So I didn't realize it over a period of time. The hunger and desire for you is not what it was. But don't stand or sit there thinking, oh, I made it. Just make a decision this morning. God, I need to turn around. Forgive me for wasting time or not spending time in a way that is an investment in you or in others. I believe God's turning up the heat around here amongst us. Not in a heavy way, in a releasing way, but of people that are passionate, of people that are hungry, people that are seeking after him, people that are pursuing him. And it's like,
come on.
You'll only find that happens on the inside of you when you plug into God yourself. Yeah. We could have a series of meetings for several nights in a row, and at the end of it, there'll be a different atmosphere, a different vibe in the church, and everybody will be, wow, this is exciting, this is great. But if you don't continue to fuel something like that, a week later, you'll say, wow, can we have some more of those meetings? And actually, you have a meeting on the inside of you. He's called the Holy Spirit. And you can meet with God anytime, anywhere, any place, because you carry the presence of God. You're a carrier. You're a temple. You're an ark of God who carries the... God's not in a box anymore. He's on the inside of you. You're alive in him. You've become an ark, a mobile ark, carrying the presence of God everywhere you go. And he is passionate to burst in and through our lives out to impact the world that is dark. He wants to release his light, his love, his power, his salvation, his healing, deliverance, whatever people need. So, Father, I thank you. Father, would you forgive us? I'll just do a corporate job for the moment, and then you can all pray individually. God, would you forgive us where we've just got laissez-faire? Would you forgive us where we've just gone down to second gear or third gear instead of in top gear? Father, would you forgive us where we've just taken our foot off the accelerator a bit and said, well, I'm doing all right, we're doing all right, things are good, things are okay. Father, would you forgive us where there's just laissez-faire kind of approach to you and to who we are? Father, where have been any moaning or complaining, I don't like this, don't like the other, don't like that. Father, would you forgive us? If you need to do any of this stuff, make it personal at this moment. Father, where I've taken my eye off you and I've put my eye on other things, and that's captured my heart, and I think about those things, whatever they might be, Father, I ask you to forgive me that other things have risen up in my heart because I've allowed them to, that have taken over and just taken the edge off my heart and longing and desire for you. Maybe you just need to say, Father, thank you for the word you brought this morning that's been a bit of a prodding stick, a little bit of a wake-up, or has been a little bit of a shaker or a rattler that's in you at this moment. If you feel upset and a bit like, oh, this is a, you know, then it's probably because something needs to happen on the inside of you. There probably needs to be a fresh response to the Lord. It's probably for all of us. God's been doing this. He's been prodding me. He's been stirring me. Even though, this, you know, that whole rest stuff, even though every day I'm like, God, I want to live in your rest. At the same time, as I know I've been living in the rest. For the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've been disturbed on the inside of me. And I've been saying, God, it doesn't seem like I'm living in your rest. And he said, Clive, you are, but I'm just stirring something fresh in your life. I don't want you to get used to just living in the rest in a certain way, because I want to go deeper. I want to reveal things I want to do in you and change things on the inside of you. So even though you're living in my rest, I'm stirring, because I want a fresh response. I want to go deeper in your life so you can be more fruitful and effective in everything that I have for you and for the church and everything else we're involved in. So, Father, I thank you. Father, I just pray for everybody here that there's no condemnation this morning at all. That you're saying, Father, when it comes from you, there's no condemnation. There can be conviction that leads to repentance, that leads to greater freedom and liberty in life, that leads to greater hunger, desire, longing to know you. But I thank you, Jesus, that in you there's no condemnation. You don't put us down. Sometimes you just say, hey, guys, come on, wake up. It's time. There's so much more. Don't get used to what you're living in. Shake yourself a little bit out of what you're being used to and plug into me, press into me. You'll find a greater hunger, desire, momentum begins to accelerate in and through your life. And then you'll begin to realize, wow, I didn't realize how I got stuck in third gear, but I thought I was in top gear. But now God is doing something fresh. I realize, wow. And you find you want to then continue on in what God's doing. So, Father, I thank you for grace to seek you, grace to meet with you, grace to pursue you, grace. And we're not trying to do it and strive in our own strength, but grace in everything you are doing, Father. I thank you that anybody in this room in the next few days, next few weeks, set themselves, say, God, I want to know you. I want to know you in a fresh way. Would you do something new in my life? God, I want to pursue you. Holy Spirit, would you just come and lead and take over in my life in a fresh way? Father, I pray anybody that responds, it doesn't matter how young or old, however newly saved or many, many years, doesn't matter who, Father, you're no respecter of persons when people start to seek you and seek after you. You love to respond to the one who seeks after you. So, Father, I just pray anybody in the room, anybody, even if it's just one person that responds to this message, that you would meet with them. 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 Father, we praise you. Let's just raise our hands, shall we? Father, thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon our lives. We don't want to take that for granted. We don't want to just tip our hats to you or give you the fag end of our time, of our lives. Father, we want you to be right at the center. We want you to be everything to us, Father, so that everything else then flows from that place of relationship with you, hunger, desire, longing. Father, I thank you. I thank you for people who pursue you, seek after you, want to know you. We got a prayer meeting this Wednesday night, Impact Prayer Meeting. You know, we want to pursue God. We want to pursue God. We want to pursue God. If you have nothing else going on Wednesday night, then be here. Let's be together. Let's be here. Don't watch a video. Don't go out. Don't get whatever. Just, I know there might be one of you need to stay at home if you've got kids, babysitting. But if there's nothing else happening Wednesday night, let's be here together. Let's pursue God. Let's get in there with God. That's one way of saying, God, I'm pursuing you. I want to get after you. Because a prayer meeting is not about us. A prayer meeting is about everything that we're praying into. It's a selfless evening on Wednesday. So if you want to be part of something selfless, then come on Wednesday night and be part of seeking God. Yes, you'll encounter God, but also we're here for those that aren't here, those that aren't saved, those that need a miracle, people's lives that need transforming, because that's the kind of church God's called us to be. We're not here for ourselves. We're here for the benefit of everybody else. We're here to reach Horsham. We're here to reach a 25-mile radius. We're here to go beyond that, all over the nation and beyond. God has called us to be this apostolic church, this apostolic people, and we want to respond to that. We want to be who God's called us to be. So let's boot out the laissez-faire. Let's boot out anything that will want to hold us down. Father, we praise your name. We thank you, Jesus. I know we've gone way over time and everything. Apologize about that. But Father, I thank you. You just find us over these next few weeks. You find us becoming more and more hungry, more and more hungry, more and more hungry. The next Sunday when we rock up, the whole atmosphere is going to be different next Sunday because of what happens when we all spend time with you this week on our own or as a family, as a couple or whatever the context, in small groups and everything. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just turn to somebody else and say, well, I needed that.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.